In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. I want to tell you something very important in our church, that most of engaged couples, they spend the time of engagement in preparing for the wedding, furniture, and the reception, where and when, and maybe other things like this, materialistic things, but, and of course they have some relations good together, yani emotions toward each other, but they don't think about what's going to happen in the future. What is after marriage? And after marriage, they complain. They complain because they didn't study well how it's going to happen after marriage. Most of them, they are blind about marriage. They don't know the meaning of marriage. And when problems start, they try to go to Abuna, help us. But it's important that we start during engagement, start to know the responsibility of marriage. Don't live in illusion. Illusion will make you think that is something full of flowers and full of love, but you don't expect that will be some problems and you don't know how to face it. I'll give the first introduction about marriage. Actually, we have to think about marriage that is a sacrament. It is a sacrament and not a contract. It is a covenant between a man or between the couple and God. And the Bible tells us a lot about marriage. If you want to use this one, I have mine. Put this one here. I'll give you this one. Marriage is a biblical truth. Something the Lord started from the beginning. Start from the beginning of and you can see that we are going to speak about three important points: marriage in the Holy Bible, life commitment, and marriage as intimate fellowship. Marriage in the Holy Bible. Christian marriage is biblical truth created by our Lord Jesus Christ when he brought Eve to Adam and take Adam's rib. And he told him that he helper comparable to him. And that's why we can say that God performed the first marriage. God performed the first marriage according to his divine plans. We are going to discuss the following points: the Holy Bible and the purpose of marriage, the meaning of live and leave, the meaning of sacramental marriage, and marriage as an intimate relationship. The Holy Bible and the purpose of Christian marriage. What are the main purposes for marriage? There are three main purposes for marriage. according to the word of God in the Bible, companionship, helper comparable, giving birth to children, and number three, fulfilling sexual desires and abstaining from sexual immorality. Companionship is the main purpose of marriage. Loneliness was the first thing that God named not good. It's not good. The first thing the Lord said, it is not good to leave Adam alone. Not good physically, not good emotionally, and not good spiritually. And that's why the Lord, when He started the first marriage, He gave us a good example how to be our Christian marriage. Wife subjects to her husband, assists him, and share with him all daily life responsibility. There is something special for the husband and other for the wife. Together, they share together all daily life responsibility. The husband loves his wife as Christ loved his church and gave himself for her. And both submit one another. Both must submit to one another. And what is the meaning of the verse, the husband at the head of the wife? We are going to discuss it later because it is a big problem in our culture. I'm going to discuss it later on. The first one is companionship, helper, and an equal with him in everything. Number two, giving birth. Giving birth to children. This is that second purpose of the Lord, procreation. Procreation. The Lord said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over so and so. Then the second commandment for Adam and Eve, to give children. For Christian couples, procreation is very important. To bring children to God. But what type of children? Any couple they can marry or not marry, or not, they can bring children. But as Christian marriage, we must bring saints to the Lord. We must bring saints to the Lord. As the psalmist said, the children are a heritage for the Lord, from the Lord. They are like arrows in the hand of the warrior. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. This is very important, that we are bringing saints to the Lord. Bringing saints to the Lord. How to create children? Solomon in the Proverbs said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. He will be attached to what you told him. When you train him to be God lover, he will cling to his life as a God lover. Otherwise, you are going to suffer from him. As happened with Esau, the son of Isaac. He was not perfect, and he profaned, and he was a grief of mind to his parents. He was grief of mind to his parents. Jacob's children, although Jacob knew how to live according to God's commandment, and he was a good person, but unfortunately, when he got married, he was busy with his four wives, and busy with the livestock that he was caring about him. And that's why 10 of them, he didn't give them time. All of them except Benjamin and Joseph, and the other 10, they were not raised well. And that's why St. Paul said, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." I have to put them in the right track to love God. Then the parents will not suffer later on. Number 3, fulfillment, sexual desire, and abstaining from sexual immorality. God created the sexual desire, for procreation, that will be attraction between the male and female. And he did it for every creatures. But here there must be intimacy. There are some people who can and like to live without marriage. And this is what happened to St. Paul. He said, "Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each one have his own woman, and let each woman have her own husband." Although he wished that all men were unmarried like him, yet he added, "But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to be with passion." Now, the meaning of the words that we say it in the wedding, and the Lord said it in St. Matthew, "Leave and cleave." The Lord said to in the Genesis, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they become one flesh." Leave and cleave. Leave his parents' ties, yet respect and honor them. Respect and honor them. Cleave to your wife. Cleave means to weld together. Cleave to your wife. Become one body, one heart, one mind, living in intimacy and total commitment. Total commitment. Why? Because the two partners became one flesh, and no division after unity. No division after unity. It is unity in bodies and in soul. What the meaning of intimacy? St. Paul said it clearly in his epistle to the Corinthians, "Let the husband render to his wife the affection due to her, and likewise also the wife to her husband." The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. And this is clear, that your body will not be your own. It is for your spouse. For your spouse. And he added, "Come together so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." Sexual love is part of the relation, but the bond is deeper than that. It means complete love, acceptance, affection, tenderness, touches, motivations before any relation. And I think that many people, they don't know that sexual relation needs all these things. Again, love, acceptance, affection, tenderness, touches, and motivation, all this before any relation. Now, what the sacramental marriage means? It means 7 criteria. Number 1, oneness, holy covenant, life commitment, means of sexual love, retaining personal identity, centered in love and obedience, blessed by God as means of having children. Oneness. What the meaning of oneness? Oneness means unity in flesh and soul. Unity in flesh and soul. Submission to one another as they are. What we say in the wedding, Abuna, when he prays, this part put his hand over the couple and he say, crown them, O Father, with glory and honor. Bless them, only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Sanctify them, O Holy Spirit. Then they are crowned by the Father with glory and honor, blessed by the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. You have to remember that your spouse is a gift from God. Once you proceed your engagement safely and you got married, remember that your spouse is a gift from God. You sometimes you say, I fetch for somebody to be my mate. No, God is going to work. When you choose somebody, God is the one who is going to help you, and he prepared this for you. You can't do everything without Jesus Christ himself, and that's why it is a gift from God to the other. For this reason, the groom takes his wife from the hands of God, not from the hands of Abuna, in purity and sincerity, and has compassion on her. Compassion on her, and to love her and to be sincere in his love. The Lord took a rib from Adam's to make Eve. He took the rib near his heart, not from his a bone from his mind, or his brain, of his head, nor a bone from his feet. That to be near to his heart, he took a rib near his heart. It can easily take something else, but he wants to tell us that it is near your heart. You have to love her because it is near your heart. The bride has to honor her husband and respect him and receive him with joy and cheer. Both must submit to one another, live together in harmony. The meaning of living together in harmony, that you are in one boat and you have to row in harmony. If one harm faster than the other, the boat will take round and round and will not go to the destiny. And that's why they must live together in harmony. Another criteria, holy covenant between a couple and God. As I told you, it is not a contract between a man and woman. It is something mysterious and intimate bond. Therefore, it must be not broken at all. It must not be broken at all by man. As the Lord said, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. For this reason, one must carefully choose the lifelong mate, mean the right person. Very important that we choose the right person. Second point, one must get married for the right reasons. I'm going to discuss it later. For marriage, the right reason for marriage. Number three, one must spend some time in prayer and fasting, asking God for a gift from his hand. Asking God. Sometimes we choose. We look superficial. We don't know the future. But God knows everything. What is hidden can be discovered by you, uncovered by you. When the Lord wants, this person will be your mate. And the Lord is the one who chose your mate, and he is going to give it to you, to give her to you, or to him to you. Number three, life commitment. Life commitment. It is not for a shorter period. Sacramental Christian marriage is a call to friendship, a call to sacrifice, and a call to protect your spouse. It is total commitment to the total person for the total life. Total commitment for the total person and for the total life, of the total person, total life. Very important to know that this is life. Sacramental Christian marriage is a call. Some people think that commitment to their spouse until death is idealistic. Is idealistic. And I don't think to be, I have my spouse all my life. But it must be for life. And when sexual problems start, it is no longer valid. They don't like to spend the time to, or energy to solve any problem or to come over any crisis. I remember once I was traveling to Phoenix for performing liturgy there, and I sat beside the woman and she asked me, how long you get married? I told her 42 years. It was 6 years ago. And she told me, the same wife? I told her, yes. I said, you are crazy. You are crazy. They change. They change. But commitment means no turning back for any reason. Neither sickness, nor poverty, nor calamities, nor any crisis. And one must not change his or her mind at all when the life changes. When the life changes. Commitment is more than maintaining. It is more than continuing to stick out with a poor choice of a spouse. It needs investigation and where to make relationship grow. Do not expect that your spouse will be a mirror image of you. Everyone has his or her identity, and it is completely wrong if one wants to destroy the identity of the other. Even the twins, they are different. Even the twins of the same house, they are different. And that's what you must know, that you are different from your spouse and you have to work on it. Commitment will be acknowledged by God, because it means that the couple loves each other sincerely and they give more than they take without asking for reward. Without demanding or expecting reward, I give always. This is the commitment. I give without asking any reward. Sometimes we say, I give, but I want from you to give. No, give without asking, and the Lord will help you more. Love is an act of strength and not of weakness. Act of strength. Marriage is built upon a commitment to communicate. We start to communicate. In order to build our marriage, I have to start communication properly. We have to know and learn how to speak our partner's language and use all the energy in getting along with your partner. Some people are like medieval castles, build high walls around them to keep them safe from being hurt or to secure themselves from being attacked. But the castle dweller will be a self-made prisoner. They want to feel loved by someone, but the walls are so high that it is difficult for anyone to reach in. Number four, means of sexual love. Sexual love should be practiced with decency, respect, and without vulgarity. St. Paul advised the married couples, saying, let the husband render his wife the affection due her. And likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Come together to that. Satan does not tempt you because of lack of self-control. The couple grows to be one. The The couple grows together and close to each other without fear, because love takes fear away. Love takes fear away. They feel shameless and safe to be together. They are similar to Adam and Eve before fall. They are naked and shameless. They are supported by each other. They show their feelings to each other without shame. Without shame. Number five, retailing personal identity. After marriage, the husband and wife work together in building their home and marital relations without losing each spouse's identity. Marriage oneness does not mean I destroy the identity of my spouse. No. The organs of the body work together in harmony, and no one takes the function of the other. No one takes the function of the other. Submission does not mean loss of identity. When I submit myself to somebody, it doesn't mean I lost my identity. The Lord said, Lord Jesus Christ submitted himself to the Father and became obedient to the point of death, although he is equal to the Father. As he said, I am and my Father are one. I am in the Father and the Father in me. That means, although they are two and united, one, but everyone has own identity. And this is in John 10, 30 and 14, 11. There is something important I'm going to mix between marriage and something happened in the history of our church, of the church. There were two people called, one is called Eutychus and the other called Nestor. And we called the people who followed them, the Eutychians and the other, the Nestorians. And the theory, they said, is Eutychianism and Nestorianism. And there is resemblance between the and the marriage couples. There is considered that the divine nature of our Lord Jesus Christ is absorbed by the human, absorbed the human nature. The human nature is absorbed by the divine nature. You know? And the human nature disappeared. And this is, we call it Eutychianism. The other one said, no. The divine nature of Christ is separated completely from the human nature. And that's why who was born from St. Mary is the human nature. And he who is crucified is the human nature. Who did the miracles is the divine nature. Of course, this is completely wrong. We say always, St. Cyril said to him that our Lord Jesus Christ is the incarnate God. God incarnate. The two are united. What is this about relation between this and marriage? When you destroy the identity of your spouse, you must not give any idea, and you must not have any view. I have to do everything. I. This is, I call it Eutychianism, that you absorb the identity of your spouse. When you separate yourself emotionally, financially, spiritually, if you respite, this is Nestorianism. You separate the two. You have your own bank account, her bank account. This is Nestorianism. You separate the two. Where the unity? It disappeared. And that's why we have similarity between the two. Oneness does not mean that you lose your identity at all. Number six, centered in love and obedience. The role of the husband and the wives are defined clearly in the Bible. Everyone has to love his spouse regardless of the response of other partner. It is a reflection of love of God that he has done for us. Love is not primarily sexual or emotion, although both are important. Love and obedience can easily achieved if both the spouses are faithful Christians. Very important. faithful Christians and under the control of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who joined the two under the control of the Holy Spirit in one body. They should dwell together in a manner that both should share every aspect of their lives. There should be no areas where there are signs to say private, husband alone, wife alone. No, this is not love at all. We have to be, to join together and to have everything together. St. Paul advises the spouses to live in love and obedience. Wives, moved by the sincere love of the husbands, will surely submit to their husband. This, now we are going to explain the meaning of the husband is the head of the wife. Now in this, the meaning of it, that he is the leader of the house. Leader of the house. If there is a problem, they have to sit together and discuss it together. Discuss it together. And if they don't reach resolution of this conflict, postpone it another time and think about it and then discuss it again. If they don't reach conclusion, there are two directions. If it is simple point, let the husband do it by his own way, and he will learn from his, if it is wrong, he will learn from his mistakes. If it is something important and crucial point, go and discuss it with a priest, with Abuna. Abuna will be fair, and he's going to give you good resolution for this conflict. But this is the way that you can live happy life together. All the husbands will obey St. Paul's command in loving and caring for their wife as Christ did for the church. A Christian person has to give more than to take. Have to give more than to take. Number 7. It is blessed by God as means of having children. This is the 7 criteria. The Lord made the marriage of Adam and Eve as a means of having children because he said, be fruitful and multiply. The same words were said to Noah after the flood. Having children is not only the only reason for marriage, so it is not dissolved if any spouse have any genital problems and cannot give birth to children. For example, if there is something wrong, like insufficient living sperms or ovary or uterus problems, it doesn't dissolve the marriage. It doesn't. If they couldn't have children, it doesn't dissolve the marriage at all. Once a mother came and told me, Abuna, you have performed the wedding for my daughter. So yes, but now after 2 years they have no children. I told them, that's not my problem, go somebody who can solve this problem. But I confirmed the wedding, okay, but this one is not my specialty. Now I'm going to ask you, you are maybe married couple, engaged couple, I will ask you 3 questions. Why did you marry? The second, are your dreams about marriage are fulfilled? Number 3, what were your expectations about marriage? What's your expectation about it? There are 12 expectations, and I want you to think about it. If I have a paper and a pen, try to think which one is proper for you. Which one, or more. Number 1, I wanted to marry to escape from loneliness. Think about this. I want to marry to escape from loneliness. I wanted to marry to have children. I want to see myself in them. Huh? When a couple have a baby, they enjoy to have the baby and they look, he is looking like me. No, he's looking like me. And they fight, who the child is looking to one of them. Huh? They see themselves as God. When he created us, he saw himself in us, in his image. Number three, I wanted someone to help me and make me happy. Number four, I want to spend my life with someone who loves me. Number five, I wanted to marry for sexual union, emotional needs in a holy and lawful way to protect me from sexual immorality. Number six, I want to fulfill what I lacked in my parents' home. I miss something in my parents' home, I want to fulfill it. Number seven, I want to marry to escape from social pressure and to have respectable status. He is married. To escape from social pressure. Number eight, I want to find someone to help me financially. Number nine, I wanted to find a girl similar to my dear mother or find a man similar to my beloved father. My father is kind with my mom, or my mom is kind with my father. I want somebody like them. Number 10, I want somebody to show sacrifice for my sake and carry my responsibilities. Number 11, I want to have a spouse showing complete submission. Number 12, I want to marry to escape from my parents' control. كبسين على نفسي طول لا, I want to escape from this control. 12 things. And I want to know, look and see and discuss it with your father of confession. Which ones are your goal in order to marry? Now, there are another five questions. I want you to answer it honestly. Number one, now after you get married, are all your motives for marriage completely fulfilled? All your motives for marriage are completely fulfilled? Number two, if you consider that your marriage was a safety net that you gladly fell in, what motive you did not fulfill? What's missing? What's missing in your motives? Number three, do you find that you can communicate and understand your spouse well, and both of you share the challenges of life willingly? Again, this is very important. Do you find that you can communicate and understand your spouse well, and both of you share the challenges of life willingly? Number four, do you consider that your marriage needs adjustment, and do you want to change for better marital life? Number five, do you feel that you build a Christian home and Christ is dwelling or is an important person in your family? Five questions, and you have to judge yourself properly. You must be honest. And in order, if there is something wrong, you have to change. And look for somebody to help you to change and see what conflicts you have in life, in marriage. Number D, marriage is an intimate relationship. In order to know how to communicate well and have intimate relationship with your partner, one must know that God created woman of a different nature than man in many aspects. Many people, they don't know this. They don't know that woman is different from man in nature. In 10 points. I'm not saying anatomy or shape. No. And many people didn't investigate this. 10 different items between a man and a woman. Number one, after many psychological and socialists investigate these differences, they sacrifice summit in the following. Number one, Man is mono-directed, while woman is stereo-directed. Man cannot think and do many things at the same time. On the contrary, woman can do many things at the same time. For example, she can cook, speak on the phone, and watch the kids at the same time. If the husband did this, the food will be burned and the children will harm themselves. He can't do the three at the same time. When you ask your husband to go and buy so many items, he will miss two or three from them. Ask her, please write it on paper. Write it on paper. He will not. And that's when they go together in any store. She knows what she wants, but the husband, enough. But she knows what the house needs. In marital life, the wife be more efficient in doing certain jobs than the husband does. When they plan to go a trip, the wife is the more efficient in preparing the luggage without forgetting an item for any person, including the kids. If you let your husband to prepare the luggage, many items will be not prepared. Maybe his shaving machine, he will not put it on. But the wife prepares everything for him. This is why the husband has a small wallet in his pocket, small wallet. But the wife had a big purse containing every items, anything, many items, considering emergency for her and for the others. This is, God created woman like this. She is stereo-directed. Number two, the vocabulary of the girls is greater than boys. Girls start to speak earlier than boys. Statistics show that women normally speak more than double the amount of words men speak per day. And if the man speaks 1,000 words per day, she speaks 2,000 or 3,000. This is normal. This difference has an impact on the marital life. The two spouses must consider that characteristic that in their marital life, especially in discussing their problems. When discuss problems, she will repeat the thing several times and going from one side to another side and follow her husband. I saw something wrong in the house, and he will leave her for a while, follow him. He will go to the toilet, follow him. And that's why she will not leave him till he will be disappointed enough. And that's why very important, as good communication is the key of successful marriage, the wife has to minimize her speech, al-kalamik, as much as possible, and stop repeating the same words. Otherwise, the husband will not stand that kind of conversation. And he will withdraw gradually and may leave the house as he feels uncomfortable during discussion. Wives must practice self-control. When they feel that their husbands are not ready for more discussion, stop. Women have to choose the proper time for speaking with their husbands, and they have to do it briefly. In marital life, problems happen when wives are very talkative and men are short-tempered. She speaks for a long time, and enough. They start to fight. At the same time, husbands must consider the nature of their wives. They must practice patience and listen seriously without any discomfort or weirdness. They must pay attention, listen, and show their concern. She's speaking and I'm looking for a book, reading a book. Or she's speaking and I'm watching the TV basketball, and she said, I want to do this and that. Oh, goal! And he didn't listen to her at all. This happened. Usually, try to show concern when your wife starts to speak to you. If the husband feels that he is tired of the long discussion, he has to ask his wife to postpone the matter to a more convenient time, a better time to think seriously about that matter. One of the greatest gifts a person can have is the gift of listening. The gift of listening. It is an act of love and caring. Listening appears in the eyes and the smile of the person. When she starts to speak to you, look to her eyes, smile, accept everything, and don't interrupt her. Very important that the husband must not be tired from long discussion. Many men do not have sufficient vocabulary to express their emotions. This is another problem. Other think that showing feelings and weak is weakness, and any sympathy is awkward for them. Others keep quiet to avoid confrontation when they have different opinions. One must also consider that both husbands and wives must prepare themselves for change. We have to change. I am very talkative, I have to minimize. I don't like to listen a lot, or to. I am short-tempered, I have to change. This, of course, I give it another course, not here. They must, readiness for change should start before marriage. They must know that change of habits and behavior will build positive relationship in marriage. They must cope with the different characters of each other and try to develop greater flexibility in their daily life. This is the second difference. The number one, mono-directed and self-directed. Number two, the wife speaks more than the husband. Number three, stimulus for attraction. Another important difference between man and woman, the eyes of men are the source of stimulus for attraction and fascination. And the beauty of the woman charmed them. That's why our Lord said, who looks to a woman to lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. He didn't say for a woman. He didn't say it for a woman. He said it for the man. This is a stimulus of attraction. You want to see his wife beautiful always. Huh? The wife has to show their beauty to their husband at home, not outside. There are many wives, they show their beauty outside. They put cosmetic for people outside. But at home, they don't care about themselves. Maybe the dress that she prepared, food, which is smelled with onion and so on, she goes to sleep with this same dress. And that's why this will not fascinate and attract their husbands. On the other hand, the stimuli for women, the strength of women, their ears, this stimuli for women. They like to hear good compliments and praises and love expressions every day. They want this. The problem, believe me, the problem of many families that the husband keeps silent and don't say any praises to his wife. He sits like the Sphinx at home, and for many years he says many words before marriage. Many praises before marriage. After get married, he became mute. And this make many problems. Same of them are their ears. They like to hear good compliments and praises and love expressions. Husband must know how to laud and praise their wives frequently. Compliments can be also appreciated when accompanied by some deeds, such as giving small gifts, invitation to eat in restaurants, and showing affection when their wives feel tired or exhausted. Very important to say compliments for your wife. Always. When she cooks nice food, oh, thank you, wonderful. Thank you for this food. I didn't taste this food before. You are wonderful cook. And she say, oh, it depends not on the cook and those who taste the cook, those who eat the cook. And this is how you can exchange your compliments to each other. Husbands and wives must acknowledge and the everyday value of the partner in a look, in a smile, in a touch of the hands, and in sacrifices. Husbands should appreciate a meal, a new dress, or a new hairstyle. I have to say something. Sometimes I do this mistake. My wife go for hairdresser and she comes, I didn't say anything, and she don't see something different. Oh, change your hairdress and hairstyle. And it is very important she wants to hear this. Husband and wife must acknowledge the everyday value. The everyday value of a partner and a look, a smile, touch, and hand sacrifice. Both must not be offended with their expectations are not fulfilled as they imagined, but they should be patient. They should be patient. Number four, power and muscular structure of the body. Of course, the man, the physical structure of the body of the man, of the men and women differs greatly. Men are usually muscular, that they can help their wives when they need physical efforts. Women are more emotional and romantic and less physically strong. Thus, in their daily life, husbands and wives must complement each other, trying to make life as perfect as possible. What the meaning of it? The meaning of it that I can do some hard jobs at home. Vacuum the carpet, for example. Carrying the clothes to wash them. Small things to do. Shopping, for example. I feel disappointed when I see a woman carrying the baskets, heavy baskets, and going to the car, and the husband's going without caring what she's doing. This is very important that we care, that God created us muscular, then responsibility that we care about our wives. Women are more emotional, romantic. Husband must be patient, passionate, and give enough. And give enough they have to give enough time for the needs of their wives, especially when the wives are agitated from loss, tired, sick, or pregnant. St. Peter called the women weak vessels and asked the husband to dwell with them with understanding. Dwell with them with understanding. Giving honor to them that their prayers may not be hindered. Number five, I told you 10 differences. Number five, sexual ability and satisfaction. The sexual ability and satisfaction of men and women are different. The roles, the and secretion of the sexual hormones are not the same for male and female. While testosterone is secreted daily in men's body, the estrogen hormone is in women is secreted once a month. Sexual relation should be satisfied, both husband and wife, equally and synchronously. If there is a defect, such as premature ejaculation for husbands or not satisfaction for wife, the couple must take the matter seriously, and discuss it with the priest or a neurologist or other experts. There are many problems that might occur due keeping this defect secret without consulting a specialist. Husbands must have warm feelings and emotions and must show romantic affection toward their wives. Performing sexual relation without love, tenderness, and affection will not be satisfactory, especially for men. There is a nice book. I hope that you have it at home and you can read it, His Needs and Her Needs by Willard Hurley. And but I gave it to a couple and they have a great fight. Why? She read what she wants. She read her needs and said, oh, you don't give me these needs. But when you read this book, if you are a male, read her needs. If you are a female, read his needs. Huh? You know what I mean? If you start to read your needs and you will not find it is not satisfied, you'll fight. But you have to know what you want to know about your spouse. Then read her needs if you are a man, and need his needs if you are a woman. Number six, women try to show their beauty. One of the 10 differences. Like to take care of their appearance and external looks, showing and experience their beauty. They like to use cosmetics, makeup, hairdressing equipment, and other beautifying tools. On the other hand, men do not care much about their appearance. They may like to be well-dressed and tidy, but they usually don't pay attention to buy cosmetics, and sometimes they are even messy. Huh? This is normal. Yani, if you are going to go to a visit and you are going to put on to be ready, put on your dress completely within 15 minutes, she may take 45 minutes. Don't be disappointed. Don't be disappointed. She wants to show her beauty. Normal. She will stand in front of the mirror longer time. Sometimes when they are engaged and she comes late, I'm sorry, I came 15 minutes late. Don't worry, I'm going to wait you an hour. After marriage, 5 minutes, I am sitting here in the car for a long time. Where are you? Have you done? They start fighting. But I have to be patient. This is normal, to take care about her beauty. And very important that problems may start when the budget of the family is tight, so that wives are not able to buy their needs or could not go to hairdressers frequently, or when the wife spends unaffordable amounts of money on her cosmetic and new dress. I may call budget tight, but I want to buy, of course, start problems. Number seven, women are created to bear children. Women can stand the burden of and suffering of pregnancy and labor. Husband must consider this great burden and be compassionate and give more care and passion towards their wives in such circumstances. Mothers can tolerate the burden of nursing their children and to look after them in different situations. The ability of men in this respect is relatively limited. What the meaning of it? The meaning of this, that during pregnancy, she is tired, nervous. The husband must take this into consideration. Must take this into consideration. That she is tired. And you are the one who take care of her when she is tired. And number eight, relation with children. Motherhood differs greatly from fatherhood. Usually mothers show more affection than fathers do. This is normal. Mothers are more patient and can communicate better with their children. They usually give more care to them, and they become very emotional when the children are sick. Sometimes they are overprotective for their children to the extent that they may spoil them. For this reason, our Lord said, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? He didn't say for the husband. But the woman, she is strongly related to her children than the father. Some husbands get jealous from these children, from their children. When she takes care of their children and leave the husband. When their wives give more attention to them and neglect their husband. Some wives may act harshly with their husbands in front of the kids, and that makes the kids lose respect to their fathers. If the father lose their role as leading head of the house, children will not respect him. Will not respect him. If the father does not understand the sensitive relation between the mother and the children and does not communicate well with them, the mother will hide the children's mistake. She will not tell her husband. This will lead to serious defects in the children's behavior and characters. The children will take advantage of the mother's softness and continue to commit wrong deeds. When the father is abusive, the mother will defend her children and prick them for their father's rage. They may reach separation. She found her husband abuse her children. The mother must know the tricks of the children, especially when they are misbehaving. And okay, caring of the children well, but if they start to behave bad, then she must know this. I could see here DVD. Mother must know the tricks of the children. Voice, please. Here a child is healthy, having everything, but he is acting and crying. And you can see the mother doesn't care about his cries. The children can act, and we must know how they act. They are not sick and they cry. The mother must know this. And this is what the film I gave here. And the child was crying for no reason. For no reason. And she left him crying. And you can see this frequently with spoiled children. Didn't show? Okay. Okay, okay. We can continue without voice. Can you continue the film without voice? Yes. Look how he's crying and rolling on the ground and then coming back and crying again. Look. And crying again. As if you did harm for him. And here the mother is going, then caring about his cries. But he will continue to act that he is something wrong with him. Look here. And when you hear his voice, there's something wrong in him. He will send again and repeat the thing again. When you hear his voice, you think that there is something wrong in his body. and see how they can act. But we must be aware about this. Number 9. Mothers can tolerate nasty jobs of their children. Mothers can do nasty and hard jobs for their children without being disappointed. They change the diapers of the children happily. For most of the father, this is an intolerable task. And there is another DVD. Husbands are preparing, changing the diapers of their children. When you hear the voice, you see, you can hear their voice, how they are suffering. Look. The operation. Going to vomit. Yes. And when father start to do it, the other children, that's, you can see how of course the mother comes and do it happily without problem. Number 10, the relation of husband and wives to their parents. And I want to the engaged couple to consider this. Usually, wives are more attached to their parents than the husbands, especially to their mothers. It is difficult to stop the intimate relation between a girl and their mother after marriage. Husbands must be aware of such relation, help their wives to understand and follow the verse, forsook your people and your father's home. Good relations and respect must always exist between the couple and their in-laws. And now, I want to tell you something about this. In the book that I did, premarital sessions, I give it to the premarital couple, the book, Preparation for Marriage, there's a question. How many times you want to visit your father and mother, and how many times are going to visit your in-laws per week? And one of the couple said, I want to visit my mother 3 times a week. And she said, I want to visit my in-laws 2 times a week. And I think that the 2 times a week, this is something exaggerated. But I think he will change it 4 times for mom. And he answered the question, I want to visit my parents 1 every 2 weeks. And my in-laws 1 in 2 weeks. And they were going to marry after 1 week. And that's why I pray that they are going to fight about this. And they called them and I asked him, both answers different, I have to compromise. And they told her, if you leave your home 5 times a week, come 6 p.m., take your dinner, 7 you leave the house, come back at 10, go to sleep, another day do the same, then where is the quality time you spent with your husband? And I compromised that they can visit their parents once a week, and the in-laws 1 a week. Then 2 days only to leave your home. You can call your parents 2-3 times by phone. But there must be enough time that they can know each other and have quality time with each other. I mean that this is the relation between the wife and her mom. And I have to respect, but try to solve it with the priest, to not tell them that this relation is relatively must be less must liberate lives after marriage. Of course, I put here a question: were you aware about these differences during your marital life? Have you tried to understand and respect your partner's characteristics? And this is very important, because many people, they don't know these 10 differences between a man and a woman before marriage, and they are shocked when it is after marriage. 10 differences in nature. Lord created woman different from man. I hope that you knew these 10 differences, be aware of them, and try to think about them in the future. May the Lord bless all of us. Amen. If there is any question,
if you'd like to ask a question, the mic, or if you'd like to write it, or if any way, in any form, questions are welcomed, and those who are streaming also, they can ask questions. Anybody? Of course, we thank God and thank Abuna very much for this opportunity. I was sitting and just thinking very quickly. I'm not going to keep you long, but just recently, like as recent as last week, on the Christian channels, they were talking about the family life today, and some statistics that most of the problems that leads to divorce occurs in the first 3 years. And they were talking about how Abuna said the man becomes a sphinx and he doesn't talk, but before getting engaged or before getting married, he talks a lot because of the competition mentality, and he, as a man, wants to gain. And once he achieved and scored by getting what he wants is the marriage, and he secured the relationship, he changes, or the he approaches the whole relationship differently. What Abuna concentrated on, of course, they start with this dreaming and very, very romantic relationship before they get engaged. Then they have the shock that Abuna talked about it. There is a shock that once they have passed this and they've just got married, the first early in the stage of marriage, there is a shock that this is not the person that I thought. This is not the person that I was, I dreamed, I have. And Abuna was concentrating on the point, what exactly that the things that you thought will happen in this marriage relationship. Then they go to another phase of, now I have to start working on changing the other partner, which of course it will take years, and Abuna summarizes it very quickly that it will never happen. Don't rely on changing the other partner. One thing they've done, or they said it was great, that there is nothing called meet me halfway. The halfway does not really exist, because maybe your partner is not able to meet you halfway. But if we summarize what Abuna said, he concentrated and pushed the things about we have to give without expectation of taking back. Basically, he's asking us to be Christ-like. The self-denial, the sacrificial portion of the relationship is Christ-like. And also, even meeting halfway, we had no way to meet God halfway, so he came all the way from heaven to us here to maintain the relationship. So big part of marriage, as Abuna said, that the Holy Spirit controls both, and you have to be godly couple in order to be able to give without expectation of taking, to sacrifice for each other, and to understand the other person's ability and differences, and to try to deal with that person in their comfort zone and just reach for that. Do not be shocked, and do not be scared when you think that this person is not what you had in mind. Abuna has written this book, and hopefully will make it available. Georgia and the bookstore here had a few copies of it, which is a preparation for marriage. It's called Preparation for Marriage is a Necessity. Abuna mentioned that he had like 20 more copies. He brought it with him. So feel free to check with Abuna or check with George. Abuna wrote other books about it's titled Servant Diary, and it just has like summary of all of many years of service. It really addresses things that's very touchy regarding relationships and how many homes broke because of misunderstanding and miscommunication or interference from the in-laws or being selfish. So it has a variety of things. If you read Arabic, it's not in English, يبونا مذكرات خادم still بالعربي بس يبونا ذكريات خادم بالعربي بس ما ترجمتش لسه. So it's not translated, but those who can read Arabic, it's available also. And of course, also Abuna published books about Father Abuna Mikhail Ibrahim, Father Mikhail Ibrahim. It's in English or English and Arabic, both of them. So we are grateful for the visit. Abuna will continue tomorrow. If you understand Arabic, it will be in the Karma meeting. Please come or invite others. There are flyers outside for the schedule. And if you have any question or if you'd like to contact Abuna, we'll make also the contact information available. Any other questions before we close tonight? Right, thank you.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, one God, amen. We thank you, Lord, because you are the one who started the first marriage and the good icon. The families must be a good icon for you. Yes, Lord, we can change if you help us, if you give us wisdom, and we know that you have to sacrifice, we are going to change. Help us to be always successful in our marriage, that we please you before we please ourselves. Help us to have holy families with holy children. Bless everyone standing in front of you. Bless this church and all the activities. In the name of Jesus Christ, by intercession of Mary and all the saints, accept our prayers when we say together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as given. Give us day our daily bread. Forgive our trespass. Lead us from temptation, but in Christ Jesus. I would love the Father, the graceful, and the gift of the Holy Spirit be with you. Live in peace, be with you all. Amen. We have a premarital retreat in Los Angeles with the engaged couples in the second weekend of June. And we have two couples from this church are attending this retreat. It is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I give 6 sessions for them, and if anybody, even a couple, have time to attend, welcome. It will be 12, 13, and 14 of June.